Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil. Behind the glass, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. ESPN 1320 AM listeners, good morning, hello, appreciate you, everybody on the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate you as well. Please like and subscribe if you are watching on YouTube and Twitch. That would be, that'd be great. Make us look good.
Yeah. Hit that thumbs up button.
Yeah, hit that little thumbs up. I have a take about the Kings.
I'm here for your take.
We've been talking about DeMar DeRozan. I think the Kings would be, and again, this goes to team building, not skill. I think the Kings would be like 15% better if they had Cam Johnson instead of DeMar DeRozan.
I don't fully disagree.
I say 15, some percentage, pick a percentage.
Yeah. I've always said like the idea of DeMar DeRozan, the points per game, all that stuff, mm-hmm. versus the actual functionality of DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. And not only that, but it doesn't support the players that you have on the roster already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because DeMar DeRozan's a bad player.
Nope.
Again, I think DeMar DeRozan coming off the bench for 24 minutes a night mm-hmm. would be incredible. I think if you could use him as just like a pure scorer off the bench, that would be one thing.
Sure.
But if you're going to have players like Malik Monk and Zach LaVine in your starting lineup, and if you're going to have Domantas Sabonis, and that's going to be three of your starters, it's really tough to not have the other two starters just be great defensive players, length, athleticism, mm-hmm. everything that you need. And that's why I said this yesterday. I don't know if I said it here with D'Lo and Casey. Like, a perfect world for the Kings next season would be a world in which Keegan Murray was your starting small forward.
I would agree.
That's like the perfect world where mm-hmm. you found the player that you need to go next to Domas, and long, athletic, can shoot the three, maybe block some shots, be an okay rebounder, but, you know, at least a competent rebounder.
Mm.
If you could do that, a defensive minded guy, even, you know, again, I don't love this player, but the idea of Jeremy Grant next to
sure.
like that length and athleticism mm-hmm. where you would have switchable forwards and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's how like modern basketball is run.
Yeah.
And you know, Jake LaRavia has been really good, but you need to have a Jake LaRavia off the bench and, you know, that type of player. You also need someone better than Jake LaRavia if you intend on being, you know, a team that gets into the top four of the Western Conference and mm-hmm. plays home playoff games and stuff.
Yeah, man, it was really glaring last night. And again, this is not every player we just mentioned. DeMar DeRozan's a better player in a vacuum.
Oh yeah,
I want that to be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at fit and team building, I don't think the Kings have to rely on DeMar DeRozan the way he makes it look like they have to rely on him.
Yes.
Keegan Murray can be taking more shots and being a more effective offensive player. Zach LaVine, I forgot, was playing at points last night. And Zach LaVine should be your number one guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was sitting at 8 shot attempts through 3 quarters. He took 8 in the fourth quarter alone. Yeah. He was just waiting, and you could see it was like almost like a confusion. Like, what is happening? And that's where, like, again, I keep saying this, like, accountability on the court,
mm-hmm.
especially when you take Monk and you take Sabonis out of the picture, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone is telling DeMar DeRozan, hey, lighten up a little bit. Like, we get it. We know who you are. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's also a bunch of other players here. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're taking 32 shots, you better be on the biggest heater of all time.
Well, yeah, and if you're taking 32 shots and it's... Because, man, you know what? You're getting to this mid-range spot, and on driving kicks, you're standing 18 feet from the basket, and you're getting these open looks, then sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, he's not taking open looks. He got him in the third quarter, and lo and behold, he goes 7 of 11.
Even a lot of his shots in the third quarter, he was able to get the mismatches that he wanted
mm-hmm.
and take advantage of those players, and that's something that you saw. But in the first half, you know, again, he finishes 3 of 15 in the first half. That's because he hit his final three shots. And the Kings were leading the whole first half.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the second half, and that's where you see the bulk of his shots come.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he ends up taking 17 shots in the second half. I mean, that's a lot of shots for any. And
that's more than Zach LaVine took the entire night. That's more than any other Kings player took the entire night. DeMar DeRozan had that in the second half.
And that was after starting 1 of 8 and 2 of 12 from the field. So that's my biggest gripe. It's like, hey, look, if you don't have it tonight, it's okay.
Yeah.
But you can't, and then I guess he does have it in the second half, but you can't just keep shooting and shooting and shooting and like, hey, I'm going to shoot myself out of this. We'll be good.
The Kings, to me, have too many effective players.
Yeah.
And I know it's a little different because Sabonis and Monk are out, but they have too many effective players to just like, hey, you have to go bail us out tonight. It does not have to be that way. And I think it actively hurts the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and people say we're DeMar haters. We're not DeMar haters. I mean, seriously.
No, he's a really good player.
Nah, yeah, that's just crazy. My question
is, fit with this group of players. I think the Kings have better players, or too many good/effective players to have one guy. And if it was Zach LaVine dribbling the air out of the ball and going, what did he finish? 14 of 32? Mm-hmm. We'd have the same conversation.
Oh, no, totally.
DeMar DeRozan's the guy that did it. That's why he's being singled out right now.
Well, that and, you know, Sass in the chat says 32 shots on 35 points on 32 shots isn't bad, especially when you start off 2 of 10. It was 2 of 12, but yeah, 32 shots to score 35 points is bad by any metric in the NBA. That's not efficient basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to tell people that. That's just, and I agree with this too. If DeRozan can't self-regulate, then DC needs to intervene from Tony.
Totally agree.
I totally agree with that. I just think that there are moments where you're like, okay, you survived with what DeMar DeRozan bailed you out and saved you in a game. I just didn't feel like last night was a game where...
That's all.
Yeah.
The Dallas game where he had 42 and hit the game winner in overtime, they needed him that night.
That was the only reason they were in that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But the next game where he goes 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter and overtime in the final like 5 minutes of regulation and overtime, there was never a moment where he said, oh, maybe I shouldn't be the one taking every single shot.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't.
It is a fit and an offensive flow problem for me.
Yeah.
That's all.
He's still really good.
Really good player. Going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that and the fact that at age 35, he's out there pouring in 25 points.
Yep.
22 points per game. And you can rely on him for 20 points every single night, pretty much. You can almost like write it in pen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been extremely consistent.
Yeah.
But there are certain games where you're just like, you know, you just want to like hit your head on the keyboard. Like, what am I watching?
I think there's a trickle-down effect where it adversely impacts the offense.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you saw it last night. In a 116-110 loss to Denver. Elsewhere in the NBA, here on the Insiders, that's James M. Kyle, Joe Brazil, pushing buttons, answering phones and stuff. In fact, you know what? Speaking of the phones, before we get elsewhere in the NBA, our guy Mitch in New Jersey has been kindly waiting on hold. Mitch, I know we're talking Kings now, but you had some Niner stuff you wanted to get to? Hey, Mitch. Come on, Mitch. Appreciate you. Wolves 125. Hey, you'll never guess. A team that the Kings needed to lose, the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yep.
Played the Charlotte Hornets.
Of course they did. Charlotte Hornets. They're like a Kings victory tour. They'll just go around and play all the teams that the Kings need to lose every single night.
It sure feels that way. 125-110 the final. The good news, though.
Yep.
Charlotte doesn't play another consequential West team until March 16th. They play the Clippers.
Okay.
They have a game left against the Kings on April 4th.
Oh, yeah.
And then April 8th, they play the Grizzlies, who the Kings are probably not chasing. But those are the teams of consequence in the West that Charlotte has the rest of the year. So the nightmare of teams the Kings are hoping to lose playing the lowly Charlotte Hornets is coming to an end. Whew. That was brutal.
Yeah.
It's every night. Clippers need to lose tonight. Who they got?
Oh, son of a...
All right. Need Memphis to lose or Minnesota to lose tonight. Who they got?
Charlotte.
Oh, oh. Dallas to lose tonight. Who they got? It's Charlotte. Anyways. Minnesota also sneaky rolling. They've won three in a row.
Oh.
No, it's against Phoenix, Philadelphia, and Charlotte,
okay,
which matters. But, man, their schedule is super soft coming up.
Mm-hmm.
No, we talked about this yesterday, but their next 15 games, it would not shock me at all if they get right.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have a schedule. But I'll say this. Like, anytime we talk about a team having a really weak schedule at the end of the season, mm-hmm, it's because at some other point in the season they had a really difficult schedule.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
The Kings, unfortunately, they screwed up and weren't good in their easy part of the schedule in the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're going to pay the piper here in the last 21 games, whatever it is, where they've, win percentage against is ridiculous.
But I think the Wolves might be heading to the same place the Kings are in terms of they're just playing better basketball right now.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Julius Randle's back. He's been playing well. They're beating the teams they need to beat. So I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah.
And they won again last night. The Clippers beat the Pistons 123-115. We mentioned this. Harden, 50 points.
24 shot attempts.
A vintage James Harden. Yeah, now he got to the line 20 times and made 16 of them.
Yeah.
Impressive. You score 50 in the NBA, I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, when Quentin Grimes went for, 43 or 44 last week, he's like, what?
44, yeah.
That was good crazy for Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, man. So this is not this is purely a personal thing. I still can't stand watching James Harden play.
No.
He was awesome last night. And at 30, what is he, 35?
36, I think.
35. 36 in August.
Okay.
Is 35 going on 36. To score 50 in the NBA is crazy. And they needed it. It wasn't like he scored 50 in a 40-point win.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 50 in a game they won by 8, and it was really close down the stretch. So he just carried him last night. Now, the good news with the Clippers is I don't think you're going to be able to get that from Harden on a night-in-night-out basis. And Kawhi Leonard also didn't play last night.
Oh, well, that's a big surprise.
A shocker.
Yeah, and, I'd point out, too, Edgar Fernandez here in the chat says, mm-hmm, imagine DeRozan got all those calls. You got to remember that part of the reason why DeRozan doesn't get all those calls, he gets fouled on jump shots all the time,
mm-hmm,
which is just bad defense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people get caught on the pump fake and he gets you, right?
Yep.
But James Harden still plays downhill and he still gets into the key, mm-hmm, and then he throws his body up in the air and he gets the calls. There's just a different way. He's way more aggressive going to the basket as opposed to DeRozan shooting fallaway jump shots.
Yep.
And while, again, DeRozan does get fouled on a certain amount of those, it's not very often that you see DeRozan actually go to the basket. Mm-hmm. And when he does, a lot of times he does get foul calls.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the difference. That's why Harden's shooting, 16 or 18 or whatever it was, free throws, and DeRozan's not.
It's also important to remember when you're trying to draw fouls and foul grifting, those calls aren't always going to be there in the playoffs for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whistle's going to get swallowed.
Well, that's why James Harden gets bounced almost every year his entire career. Yeah.
Anyways, he was awesome last night for the Clippers. Holy smokes.
Wow, did we just figure out the weak link to the Oklahoma City Thunder? What if Shea isn't able to foul grift in the playoffs?
That would be nuts.
Yeah.
If they just get bounced early because Shea's not getting calls.
I think we have Mitch back on the
line. Do we?
We do.
All right, it's his last chance. Go ahead, Mitch.
Oh, James, I apologize.
What's up, Mitch?
There's Wi-Fi in this gym. It's not good sometimes.
You're calling us from the gym?
Yeah, I'd rather talk to you guys than work out, to be honest.
Well, GTL right now.
Go ahead, Mitch. What do you got?
And my grandson, yesterday, he got sent home. He's 2.5. He's got lice, so I think that's quite probably I'm going to be looking out later on in the day here. So anyway, I'll fight through it.
You got it, buddy.
It's like an incubator with these daycares. And every journey they get, they just pass on with each other, and it gets to me.
I'm saying, preaching to the choir, Mitch.
I see with the arrest, the checks in the mail. I'm glad they picked up, drafted Devon Carter, Devin Carter, Crowder, Fultz. You add them all up, it's 0 points. And of course, McBuckets. I forgot his name. I know they're going to roast me on the chat, but go ahead. He's over the hill. Football, make it quick. They better get Bosa. They have no excuse. Don't think about it. Don't overpay. Pay what Purdy's worth, and you'll fit it in. And I want the Raiders, if they're going after, they think about Aaron Rodgers, think Sam Darnold instead. Thanks again.
Appreciate you, Mitch. My guy just on the treadie giving us a buzz. I love it.
With lice.
With lice, I guess. Like an incubator. I love that guy.
Mitch. Oh, my goodness. There he is spreading his lice in the gym.
I don't think he has it.
Well, he said he's going to get it.
Maybe
amazing.
That's why he's at the gym trying to stay away. Although the gym, if I'm trying to get away from a germ-infested place, going to the gym is not probably my first spot.
No.
Last thing real quick here on games last night. The Kings did get a loss from the Dallas Mavericks. I think we're going to probably get a lot of those. 137-107 the final. Poor Mavs.
Ugh.
Down 13 after 1, 19 after 2, 27 after 3, and they lost by 30. Poor guys.
Yep.
The Celtics did an insane thing last night. If you did not see that, we'll give you some of the craziest numbers that you've ever seen in your life. And then Adam Schefter painted a nightmare scenario for the 49ers with Brock Purdy's contract scenario. And we will talk. Nightmare scenario with Brock Purdy's contract scenario. Nightmare scenario with Brock Purdy's contract situation.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that next. James Hamm, Joe Brazil, Kyle Madsen, Insiders, Jiffy Lube, et cetera, et cetera. Joe, go ahead.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sport. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Also, Joe Brazil, he's here as well. See what the Celtics did last night?
This is wild.
You want to come in here and talk about this?
Jesse's here. Right.
Jesse, our resident Celtics fan, is here, and he just gave me a big thumbs up. Bro, you sent me a graphic of this, like a post game graphic.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
And I thought it was a joke.
No,
I thought it was. And I look at it, I'm like, okay, what's the bit here? And then it all kind of hit me that it was not a bit.
No.
The Boston Celtics last night beat the Blazers 128-118. That is not shocking. Derek White scored 41 points on 9 of 17 from 3. Shout out to the Bald Gang. Peyton Pritchard off the bench scored 43 points on 10 of 16 from 3. Those two performances happened for two guys on the same team. Peyton Pritchard also, by the way, added 10 rebounds and 5 assists.
Derek White has low-key become Michael Jordan since he became bald.
Thank you,
like
Jesse.
Really, like, I'm being serious. Like, he had that final series in 2022 or whatever, shaved his head, and has just been MJ since. It's been insane.
The run for Derek White since shaving his head.
All-time bald player.
All-time Mount Rushmore of bald guys in the NBA. Wins an NBA title. Wins a gold medal. Well, makes Team USA.
Yep.
Wins a gold medal and is now having the best season of his career after having the best season of his career.
Pretty much.
And he might win another championship this year.
Also hilarious with the history the Celtics have that it's Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, the only to ever go for 40 and 40.
You have Tatum and Brown. And everyone goes, who's Tatum or Brown, Tatum or Brown? Like, very obviously Jason Tatum. But yeah, these are the two guys to do it.
It's a great night.
They go 19 of 33 from three.
19 of 33!
That's just bonkers. Yeah, like, I don't even know what to
Jesse,
say.
Jesse, I want to bring Jesse back in here. Jesse Tapia from D'Lo and Casey.
Shout out.
Were you watching all 48 minutes last night?
Not all 48 minutes. I caught, like, pretty much all the first three quarters because I was here, and then I left, and I pretty much caught the fourth quarter, like, on the recaps.
Was there a moment where you're like, oh, like something, was there a specific moment where you went, oh, something different's happening?
there's not a moment, but like Derek White will just launch up like a few threes. It's like, oh, these are going in tonight. And yeah. it just happens. Oh, he's got 10 or 9.
That's how
Peyton Pritchard kind of shocked me, because it's like, oh, like Peyton's been really good. He might be sixth man of the year this year, but yeah. I think it was 10 threes.
10 of 16.
That was shocking. He was one off the Celtics record.
10 of 16.
I just think it's wild that you go into a game, and again, they didn't have Jason Tatum didn't play. So Sam Hauser, Al Horford, and Luke Kornet started. Porzingis didn't play it either. But you got Jaylen Brown. You know, you still have players that have, you know, been with this team forever. To see these two guys combined for 84 points.
That's insane.
Two dudes, including one off the bench. That is absolutely crazy. Although, I do believe the night that that the Kings scored 176, both Fox and Monk both scored 40-plus. Monk had his career high 45 in that game, and that was off the bench.
Man.
Yeah. But that was, again, a double overtime game. This was not a double overtime game.
No, it was regulation.
Yeah.
According to our guy Keith Smith from SpotTrack, first time in NBA history the two teammates have hit at least 9 threes in the same game. Yes, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson played on the same team. Never did that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
First time in Celtics history that two teammates have gone for 40-plus in the same game. Celtics history.
That again, that doesn't make any sense.
There's so many good players who have played together on the Celtics. They've never scored 40 in the same game.
Even like, I would have thought that there was a game where Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce both went for 40. Like, you would have thought that at some point in their careers, they both would have gone for 40, but that's absolutely crazy.
Man, what a game. I'm sure at some point we'll see that again. But 19 made threes from two teammates. That means one guy needs to get hot, and then another guy needs to get hot, and then they both need to get fed, and then they both need to hit their shots and stay hot.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, they ridiculous. Go 23 of 54 from three. That's crazy.
Ridiculous.
Oh, especially when they shot 97 shots. Wow. I mean, like well over half of their shots were from three. Ridiculous. That's crazy.
Let's get back to the Kings with our guy, TC. TC, what's going on, brother?
Man, kind of, hey, you know what? Not really a moral victory. I've seen some nice things, but I'm still frustrated, right? So, Hammer, okay. First of all, Ham and Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, TC?
Vibing.
I'm with the whole DeRozan. Like, everybody got their own feelings about that, right? Like, when he's on, he's on. But last night, bro, we lost that game simple, bro, because DeRozan started taking a bunch of shots. No matter how you feel, no matter how you come on here, these airwaves, bro, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. We lost a game last night with DeRozan taking a bunch of shots. When he hitting like Dallas, it's all gravy, bro. But, like, him going in these modes, like, I get it, Hall of Famer, you want a guy, all Kings fans, we looking for, like, but no, bro, you got to know when you're not on, you got to swing the ball, bro. And if we don't, like, go down like this with DeRozan taking a bunch of shots, I'd rather go back to the live by the threes, right? Shoot a bunch of three. Like, if we got to die like that, bro, I don't want to die like that, Colin. Him, that's all I got, bro. That was on DeRozan last night, man. Simple as that. I'm gone.
Right. Thanks, TC. I agree.
I don't think they lost the game because of DeRozan. But I also, I don't think that they were the maximized version of themselves. Yeah. Like, again, as opposed to being up 10 at half, and when you were up 14 and kind of let go of the rope, and then DeRozan hit a couple of shots there at the end of the half, this game could have been well out of reach. Like, they were the better team, moving the ball, sharing, a bunch of guys scoring early on. And then it just kind of like, okay, like you've got to try something different. This isn't what is happening, isn't working. Now you get to the third quarter and it's working again. Mm-hmm.
But again, 7 made shots for DeRozan in that quarter, 5 of them assisted. Like that's where it's less that he's taking shots or anyone. And again, DeMar is the guy here, but anyone dribbling the air out of the ball to settle for tough shots is not the move for any team in any offense. Like, that's just basketball. If he's going to knock down a bunch of threes and he's hitting mid-range jumpers off assists, great.
Mm-hmm.
If every once in a while he gets the ball on a dribble handoff, he gets downhill, stops, pump fakes, pops, gets the end one, hits, okay, cool. But there's no version of the Kings offense, whether it's Malik Monk or Domantas Sabonis or DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine or Keegan Murray or otherwise, where them dribbling the air out of the ball to settle for a tough contested jumper is good offense.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think TC used the phrase, no, you used the phrase, TC, one of you, used the phrase the maximized version of themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said that. The maximized version of the Kings isn't that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the gripe I have. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was a game plan. Maybe they went in saying, hey, DeMar, we want you to take as many shots as possible tonight. Like, hey, we don't have Domas, we don't have Malik. You take every single shot that you possibly can get. But I just don't know. Like, if you're Zach LaVine, you're like, hey.
Okay, so cool.
What about me?
If that's what you're doing, then why did you get Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
Why is he here?
Yeah.
If the game plan for any game is going to be, hey, DeMar, go do tough jumpers. And just that's it. Take 32 shots. Take 35 of them. I don't care. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Especially when we've seen time and time again, when the ball moves, their offense is better.
They're just better. Yep. Straight up.
I'll go back to this. I read this stat earlier. And I will read it again. And again, this is to try and move it away from DeMar DeRozan. This is just the Kings offense. Again, our guy Will Z pointed this out on the internet. 9 assists first quarter, 4 assists second quarter, 8 assists third quarter, 1 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth quarter where you got blown out.
And 8 of those assists in the third quarter were on, specifically on plays that DeMar DeRozan scored on.
Yep.
Like, we're not saying don't score. We're saying score within the flow of the offense.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I don't care if he averages 20-something a game. I don't. Like, you need points in the NBA.
Yes.
I mean, every night you got to score like 112
mm-hmm.
to be a competitive team in the NBA, in the modern NBA. You probably need to score 120 most nights if you're the Kings. Yep. So, like, somebody has to score, but, like, there's a way to distribute shots differently.
That's it. I agree. Yep. I think we've landed here. If anyone thinks we still hate DeMar DeRozan, then it's on them. DeMar DeRozan, good player. Kings offense, not good when one guy takes all the shots. Or takes all the shots and they're not dishing out assists as well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to some football stuff real quick. Because Adam Schefter on his podcast, the Adam Schefter podcast, oddly enough.
Yep. It's like the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show.
Yeah, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Kind of laid out what I believe is a nightmare scenario for the 49ers and Brock Purdy.
Okay.
And I only bring this up because it's Adam Schefter who said it and not Rando. He said it's not a lock that Brock Purdy's deal gets done this year. And then he laid out the scenario where they let him play this year on his $5.1 million deal because there's like, if you're a late round pick and you way outperform your contract, you get like additional money.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd cost $5.1 million this year. I think 5.1 is the number. And then he does the franchise tag thing where you franchise tag him in 2026, you franchise tag him again in 2027. And what that basically equates to is you're paying Brock Purdy over the next 3 years, $97 million. So 32-ish a year, a little over 32 a year.
Okay.
Which is a great deal for a quarterback, right?
Oh, yeah, that's spectacular if you're the 49ers.
But again, for me, this is a disaster scenario, not because of the finances, but because every offseason you now go into the year going, why are they committed to their quarterback?
Question marks everywhere.
And you can't have that. You can't.
No, I get it, but this is a negotiating ploy. This is part of it. Like, hey, like, he's not going anywhere. You're tied up for the next 3 years and you know, feelings and opinions can change all the time. And if you're the 49ers, you're in the position of power where you have these options of extending out his career with the 49ers by using the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Brock Purdy, you want a long-term deal here. Like, mm-hmm. he wants to be the quarterback of the 49ers. He wants to get paid, you know, for what sort of the play that he has on the field. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the 49ers still do have leverage in this situation. And, you know, you don't want to be put in a situation where you're always like kicking the can down the road, which is mm-hmm. like standard 49ers operating, you know, sure. procedure here, but at the same time, you do, if you're the team, you have to try to at least have some leverage because,
yeah, you know, again, I agree.
Like getting a guy at $40 million versus $50 million, that $10 million can really come in handy. That's basically most of what you're going to pay your draft class, like yeah. a good percentage of your draft class. And so there is a way in which you need to like be financially responsible.
I would agree.
But you also don't want to string this thing out and have it be contentious like this because that's not what anyone wants
especially
to see.
At quarterback, especially with when you've seen the adverse effect it had on Nick Bosa, the adverse effect it had on Brandon Ayuk, the adverse effect it had on Trent Williams. Like, this is not where the route you want to go with your quarterback. But what you just said is what complicates it. If Brock Purdy was a bona fide A1, tier one quarterback, there's no question. Pay him at the top of the market, sign, sealed, delivered, let's go. The reason this is an issue, or the reason it's messy, is because the Niners are like, yeah, hey, we want to pay you, we want to keep you around, but also we need some financial flexibility to make sure that we're putting the pieces around you where you can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we talked about yesterday, there was that report that the Niners' first offer was $45 million. It's like, man, seems kind of reasonable to me. And if Brock Purdy is and his agent are going to put their foot down at 61 because they want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, then I could see the Niners doing this.
But that's tough.
But for me, if it's the difference between 45 and Brock's like, nah, I need 50, then do it. The stability of knowing who your quarterback is so much more valuable than that few million annually. And again, you could also structure that deal so a bunch of that money is fake.
Yep.
And it just looks ceremonially like, man, look how much he's being paid annually. Where really it's like, yeah, it's a 3-year deal with a trapdoor in the fourth where you can get out of it.
Yeah. Well, that, and if you just want to franchise tag a guy every year, just because you have that option, it doesn't mean that he doesn't still have the option to just sit out. And then come back later in the year and say, okay, at least I got my year of service in.
Yeah.
But that's not what you want to do with your starting quarterback.
Well, it's just not.
It's not good business.
It's saying the quiet part out loud that like, hey, we're not sure we want to pay this guy what he's asking for.
Mm-hmm.
But you also can't let him walk. Because he's won you some games, and when you find a quarterback who can win games in the NFL, you kind of got to keep him around. But also, you can't... Okay, so let's pretend. Let's go down this road. They say, hey, you know what, Brock? We're going to table the contract stuff. You go play out this year. You show us. And then we'll talk again next year. And he plays really well. And you go, okay, we'll franchise tag you. We'll franchise tag you at $41 million or whatever. I don't know exactly what the number would be. Mm-hmm. But let's franchise tag you. That's what we'll do. Because that means the question is just going to linger all through the 2025 season. Oh, man. Every interception he throws, every incompletion, every game they lose, every fumble he has with the game on the line, it's going to be like, oh, man, that's why, oh, boy. And that's just going to be the fulcrum that the discussion around your team sits on. It's not going to matter what Nick Bosa does or Fred Warner or Brandon Ayuk or Christian McCaffrey or George Kittle, whatever draft picks you have, whatever they do, it's all going to come down to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, are you committing to this? Or if next week he throws a game-winning touchdown and you beat the Seahawks on the road, it's like, oh, man, well, now you have to pay him. But then he doesn't play as well next week. I go, ooh, didn't play well, but they still won. What are you going to do? And you're going to perpetually live in this cycle until you get to 2027, and now you're either paying him top of market money or you're letting him walk and you're starting at ground zero again. Like
it's a tough situation.
It is. I'm not trying to say it's easy. I just, if that's the route they're going to go, if they're going to go, cool, we're pulling the leverage card, we're going to franchise tag you, and we're just going to kick this discussion down the road until 2028 is what it would be. That offseason, gross. That is not setting yourselves up for success at all.
No.
Anyways.
I'm with you, Kyle.
But you're right. The fact that Schefter is laying this out means that
somebody
from the Niners has been like, hey, FYI.
But also,
here's the other thing. Schefter's understanding of the Niners cap situation makes me question his take on this. Like, this is definitely a route the Niners could go, but Adam Schefter also thinks that they're over the salary cap.
Yeah.
Which I don't quite understand because they
No, it's a tough look. It's a tough
they're
look.
Not. Anyways. All right. We got the handoff coming up. One of D'Lo or Casey will be in. Maybe, I hope. We'll get back to the Kings. We'll take a look around the NBA scoreboard tonight. Kings don't play, but when the standings look like they do, every single night matters, so we'll tell you what games matter tonight. He's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. If you call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320, that's 916-909-1320, you can talk to Joe Brazil before you talk to us. Somebody in the chat brought this up, and I had not even thought about this. Our guy P.E. Time said, how great would it be if Zach LaVine gets all NBA in place of Fox? So there's a couple of things here. One, not ruling that out. He's averaging 23.6, 4.6, and 4.4. Points, rebounds, assists. He's 50.8% from the field, 43.6% from three, and 81.4% from the free throw line. So he's probably not getting a 50-40-90. But when you start looking around at all the players, all the all-NBA guys who are not going to hit 65 games.
Oh, it's a lot, man.
It's a lot.
Yeah, that's why Sabonis is in line.
I think he's going to make it. Like, I would be shocked if he didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, AD is now going to be ineligible.
Because the All-Star Embiid. It's separate from the All-Star thing. It's different. It's a different voting process.
Well, they don't do positions. It's positionless now, so that may or may not hurt Sabonis. But I can't imagine voters going in and having, you know, the option of choosing All-NBA centers. Wembanyama isn't eligible.
He's out.
You know, so maybe Jaren Jackson sneaks in and takes an All-NBA spot. That's a possibility. Oh, there's Damian Barley.
Hey, man. Hey, man. And we're trying to do a professional radio program here, am I right?
you're not on commercial? Are we live now?
Yeah, we're live.
We are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Very nice.
Yeah, I got That's good, man.
Thank you.
Greatest radio show intro in Sacramento. You guys every day.
Oh, thanks.
I say it to myself in there while I'm cutting video.
Yeah, it's Young
You get
Zell,
the
man.
Young Zell song. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Then just all your noises and your drops. It's great. It's always a good time.
We just try to have fun, man. We figure if we're having fun, everybody else is having fun, too.
We're the anti-fun police.
Yeah,
so.
we're not having a good time today, straight up.
three days a week, over. Whenever 3 o'clock comes around, it goes, fun's over, James on the way. Be a professional. And then we just try to rope James into the fun a little bit and make him laugh. And tell him about fake James Hamm at the club. And
yeah.
That was fun.
There's a fake James Hamm at the club.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't tell you that story. Yeah, no, you didn't. We were at the Mix celebrating my man's birthday.
James Canadian Bacon, huh?
There was a gig and we're waiting for, you know, we're waiting for everybody to arrive, and Katie goes, "Hey, there's James Hamm." And I just looked at her. I was like, "There's no way James Hamm is here."
Nope.
She goes, "No, look. There's a fake James Hamm right there." And I look over, and sure enough, I swear to God, it was a fake James Hamm. They called him in the chat James Scam. And so
then
we created this whole like fake life for James where like, where's fake James going? Well, he's probably going to get another Tequila Cosmo or like, what's fake James doing right now? I don't know. Who's having more fun right now, fake James or real James? And we start doing play by play on fake James's life. And then like, you know, the crew, you know, gets here and we go to the booth and she's like, we got to get a picture. Like, we've got to get a picture of fake James to send to the chat.
And or to so send we, a real James.
We so, well, that booth. Was the, well, we were going to send it to everybody. But so we start kind of like stalking fake James. But then, like, you know, we just lost him. We lost fake
you
James.
You had a booth at a club and you decided to vacate the booth to stalk a person that looked like your coworker?
Yeah, that's a... I realize that might sound strange.
Well, that's a paper championship right there.
You don't understand. We had an emotional
investment. Get out of the way, bottle service lady.
We had an emotional investment into Fake James. We had built this entire life for Fake James
you
Ham.
You built a relationship with Fake James
and he never met us.
A fake relationship with Fake James
we
Ham.
We built this like life where he just like got away from the kids and wife for a night and he was out with his buddies and... Fake James. You know when James
covers
gets,
the Stockton Kings?
You know when Fake James gets like the... What, not Fake James. Real James gets the fresh haircut? That was what Fake James looked like. He looked like fresh haircut James Ham. He
wild.
Was maybe an inch. He was a little bit taller, but if James was going to the club, he had on what James would have wore to the club.
All right. Like
quarter zip sweater and khakis?
So that's game. That's a game James Ham.
Okay.
But like he had like, you know, a nice little shirt tucked in. Belt showing, look, you know, look good, okay. But look like what I would expect James Ham at the mix to look like.
Okay.
It was awesome. You had to be there. It was terrific.
I'm glad they had a good time. That's all I
we did. Know. That was really a great time with friends, my best friend in the world, like the whole thing.
Fake James but is your
building,
best friend in the world?
No. Io's my best friend.
Oh, Io the homie. Yeah.
But building, but sitting with Katie in that club and building Fake James's life was tremendous.
That's right.
That's right. Fake James Ham loves Iso DeMar.
Oh, big back.
Fake James
dude,
is a
he loved
big,
it last night.
Big Zach LaVine guy. Big Zach LaVine guy is Fake James.
Dude, Io is hilarious because.
Yes, he is.
When. There's a shindig at your place.
Mm-hmm.
When Io pulls up, it's like, oh man, it might be time to go to bed.
Yeah, it's facts.
Like he's 11:30 midnight.
It wasn't that far off of what happened on Saturday. It was like I'm telling you know, Katie, this is. Let me explain this to you, okay?
This is gonna go a little bit different.
We're going to leave hours after you're used to being asleep, like hours. I don't understand.
We're leaving tomorrow morning.
We're leaving the house at like 10:30.
Oh.
So we left at like 10:15.
Oh God.
We got there at 10:45. Io was supposed to be there at 10:30. I knew he wasn't. And he wound up showing up at like 11:15. And I was like, this is life with my man.
All right.
This is what it's like. 11:15 was actually kind of early. I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we had a good night, man. It was fun. I just wish I could have found Fake James Ham.
I'm glad I could entertain you. Even
oh,
though
you
I
did.
Wasn't
you
there.
Had no. You have no idea how much joy you brought us on Saturday night.
I'm saying yes to moral victories today.
Really?
Yeah, man. Usually people are like, no moral victory. We want to win. It's like I get it. You'd rather win that game than lose it, but. I went into last night like, hey, man, can they keep this under 20? And I thought they played well enough to win for the most part with a couple of gripes here and there. I don't think last night undid any of the progress I think they've made over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, sure. Like, I think you can.
Like, they just lost a game to a good team.
Yeah, like, I think you can lose the game and evaluate the game in a... in a vacuum,
yeah,
like just in a singular like component. In a singular component for me, that game was frustrating because they controlled that game,
mm-hmm. No doubt.
I thought they were terrific.
Yep.
A lot of what they did in the third quarter, they did in the fourth, and it didn't work.
Sure.
And so that was that was obviously problematic. But I know we're kind of at the point where. You know, we have to evaluate everything in the grand scheme. There's 21 games left.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like, okay, we have to oversee everything and perhaps like overanalyze it. But in reality, I'm not. It's not a moral victory to me. It's just like, damn, they kind of let one slip away. They weren't bad. They just kind of let one slip away in the fourth quarter. It's like, okay, that's okay. It doesn't become a problem until you lose like. Three of the next four. Then yeah. It's like, well, damn, you had the Denver game. Mm-hmm. You completely outplayed them. You let Jokic's, you know, non-minutes beat your ass at the start of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And you stuck with the ISO ball that was really effective in the third, but ultimately killed you in the fourth. And you called up a play for Jack LaRavia. That was tough.
Jake.
Jake. Jack too. That's fake Jake LaRavia is Jack LaRavia.
A little bit shorter.
Yeah, a little bit shorter.
Looks a lot like McLovin.
But you called up a play for Jake LaRavia, and it was like, all right, well, this kind of got weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't think you have to take moral victories away from it, but I don't think you have to be overly.
I'm taking moral victories.
Frustrated either. It's fine.
If you're looking at the final 22 games going into last night, you almost write that off as a loss. That's a team that's in the standings way above
you. That's why I was ready for them to get waxed last night.
Yeah, they're at home. They ended up having almost all of their players, even though all of them were questionable. I thought it was a very, very good opportunity to win a game, but I also did not expect them to win that game.
I called it. I called it like I made this up. It was a measuring stick game, and I thought they measured up pretty well.
I think so too.
Against the second or third best team in the West.
And if that's at home,
not a bad spot to be in.
You might win that game at home.
Yeah,
it might be different.
Whistle might be a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, any place that the whistles are different would be good for the Kings because that was bad.
You saw they had four.
That was
calls
so bad.
Reversed.
Yeah, weren't they all in a row?
I think one was early, and then were like three.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was awful. Really?
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't.
I thought
the
officiating was pretty bad. No, I think you can say two different things. The officiating was bad. You run ISO ball and take mid-range jumpers, it's probably going to be hard to get a foul call.
Sure.
But I thought...
I agree.
I thought the officiating was terrible.
All right.
Well, I thought it was terrible.
Hell, Michael Malone shot twice as many free throws as the Kings did, and he was bitching about it.
All right, I quit. Mike, how's that sound?
Mike Malone doesn't do anything without bitching. Tell your boy to calm down. That dude lives in a perpetual state of anger.
He really hates the Kings a lot.
He does. He really hates them a lot. Yeah, he does.
You know what I don't hate?
Like, he hates everything.
You know what I don't hate is winning on underdog.
Oh.
I went 4 out of 4 a couple nights ago, 3 out of 3 last night with my lineup. I had Zach LaVine higher than 2.5 made threes. He made 3. Christian Brown higher than 23.5 points, rebounds, assists. He had 24. And Jonas Valanciunas higher than 9.5 rebounds. That was easy work. He had 13. Would love for you to play along. On the underdog, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Joe, we'll fix that in post. Would love for you to play along on the Underdog app. Their pick'em game, super easy. 2 or more players. You pick higher or lower on their stats. You can win up to 1,000 times your entry. Download the Underdog app now and sign up now using the promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus credit when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus credit instantly upon first deposit.
Good.
Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Boom.
Bang, bang.
That was a lot.
Thanks, man.
24 over here, 25. Yeah, that's what, man, I get every time.
Yeah.
Good work.
Cooking. Thanks, man. And I won my lineup last night. I hope everybody's following my picks.
Go, Kyle.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Well, we got prize picks on the way. That's a true story. What do we got? It's Thursday. Matt George will be with us. We'll talk a lot about the Kings. Shaq said something the other night about Steph that I think deserves a little bit of attention, too, because I rarely ever say this. I think Shaq was right. In fact, I don't think I ever say that. I think Shaq was right. So we'll talk about that at some point today.
I know what he said. This makes my heart so happy. I think it's absolutely true.
So all of that, plus obviously a lot of Kings Nugget stuff.
Naturally. D'Lo, KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He is Joe Brazil behind the glass. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. See you.